parsha shemini, we're going to say perek yud aleph pasuk gimel. So kol mapresis parsha v'shosas shetta prosos malas ge rebeima osa tochelu. There are two signs that you have by any animal as to how that animal is going to be kosher. Now there are signs that are given by some animals, some not. For example, locusts do not have any specific signs. And there's a whole sefer written, Karni Chagavim, written by Ruchayim Kanyevsky about the simanim of the Chagavim and different issues of the Chagavim. By fish we know there are fins and scales, right? We have those. By the birds, although the pasuk doesn't say anything, it's only the birds that are listed that are tameh, but the birds that are mentioned in the Torah, the ones that are considered kosher, is really only brought by the Gemara. There's four simanim mentioned by over there. But the pasuk mentions two things that allow animals to become kosher, and it's mafresis parsha v'shosas shetta prasos. The fact that the hoof that is cloven has a split down the middle that goes in almost a four-way diagonal. If you look on the back of your sheep, there is a picture of a goat's hoof that has the actual goat's hoof over here. You'll see there's a split all the way down the middle, and there are two other parts to the hoof. On top, you'll see those other two parts right over there. The don't cut these part was not written by me. That was somebody else entirely's how to shave goat clippings, I guess. I don't know what exactly they're from. Either way, that's the idea of what it means by a cloven hoof. And then there's something called chewing the cud. Now, chewing the cud, you can see the stomach right over there by a regular animal. This is a cow's stomach, in which you have the reticulum, the rumen, the omasum, the abomasum. They're called different things, the vesicosos, the different areas of a cow's stomach and how it gets rid of the food, how it goes up and down, etc., and everything like that. The question is why these two characteristics are symbols of kashrus. Why would these two things be used? I am not going to go into the definition of what it means to chew its cud and what the definition is of a split hoof. That's very complicated. The Rishonim go into that. There's a lot of meticulous details that go involved in what does it mean by an actual split hoof. For example, the musk deer, right, which is a small little deer that lives in the Indonesian area, right around that area, is a big question whether it actually has split hooves. It is a deer, but the hoof and the way it works is a little bit different from a regular hoof. Chewing the cud, in the fact that the Torah says that an arneves chews its cud, or a shufan, is a hyrax, or any type of rabbit or hare, are those animals that actually chew their cud, or do they just move their mouths around? It's a little bit of a kash exactly what that means, and I don't have the if I really want to say a bad joke, I would say I don't have the stomach to be able to go through all that. You got it? Yeah, I'm sorry. So anyway, but the question is really going to be the why. Why were these two characteristics chosen in to be these symbols that represent us? Rav Hirsch points out in his Sefer Chorev that if you look at these simanim, it seems almost plant-like. We're describing animals as something that a plant would do, something that happens on its own. So similarly, in the idea like this, animals are constantly chewing their cud, chewing and chewing and chewing and bringing it up and putting it down, taking a great deal of time in the absorption of food and saying it as if they have no ability to do it on their own. They need help from another source. Cloven hooves also seems to be merely done in order to be able to stand, not for being used as weapons or tools. The whole point of the cloven hoof is to be able to stand straighter, to stand more sure. That's the idea behind it. It seems that all of the animals that are tahor are passive in nature, that they are not animals that are going out there destroying or knocking down or doing anything like that. All the animals that are kosher, by definition, are peaceful animals. We know birds of prey are forbidden to be eaten. The Ramban has a famous line that the reason why birds of prey are forbidden to be eaten is because, simply put, birds of prey have bad midos. They have character traits that are bad for a person. When a person eats something, you are what you eat. You take on those bad midos of the animal itself. You become more aggressive. And that's the idea, that the more passive animals are kosher, while the aggressive animals are more usher. It seems that the Torah is pointing out to us that we have to be passive in nature, that that's the way that we should be, and that we shouldn't be more aggressive. We shouldn't be involved with those animals. Now, I realize there are other passive animals that are not kosher, right? There are passive animals that would be like a rabbit that is obviously not kosher, even though it's a very passive animal. That's not the only thing. But Rav Hirsch's idea is that these types of symbols represent something that's a little bit more passive than aggressive. So
things like bulls and moose.
Yeah, like, even those, you know, obviously bulls that have their issues, right? The goring bulls and other animals that are out there are going to be a little bit problematic with this idea. But the basic idea is that we're dealing with something more passive than aggressive in nature. Now, the Sefer Toldos Yitzchak, this is an older Sefer, a Rishon, that was written about 800 years ago, says the reason why split hooves is a kosher simon is because animals with one hoof fight with their hooves. horses always fight back by kicking back, while animals with split hooves do not use their hooves for fighting. It's the same basic idea as reverse. The idea is that these are more passive animals. They're not something like that. That the idea is that they're calmer. It could be that the split hooves also allows it to have more balance. In fact, we all know mountain goats are the surest-footed animals that are out there. There's nothing like them. And the fact that they're able to stay up on top of something. These shut them understand the concept of eating something as something holy that it shouldn't be taken lightly. We're taking these animals because of the positive character traits that come from it. Their surety in walking, their balance as they go through, or the idea of they're not going to fight with those hooves. The same idea is reversed. It's something that's good for us, something that we can take on for ourselves, etc. But the Sefer HaChinuch says that the reason why certain animals are kosher and certain animals are not is for health reasons. Not for any of the reasons mentioned above of how to take something in, but really for health reasons, which means, Sefer HaChinuch goes through in the Shorash HaMitzvos, that means that for some reason, pig have something. They do something to a person. And that allows their stomach to be destroyed. While this type of meat, goats, cows, and sheep, have a better system for a person. When a person eats them, it gets them to be a little bit healthier. That's his idea. If so, it's possible there's a different lesson over here. Maybe that's the reason why chewing the cud is so important. Chewing the cud may be that an animal digests everything a little bit better. They're able to digest everything a little bit better, so it goes down to the stomach, and if it does that, then it spreads out to the rest of its system a little bit better. Everything about the animal becomes healthier in that way. When you digest well, that means you're a healthy person. When you swallow things whole and you take things down and they go straight to the stomach, that's when a person is eating unhealthily. So it's possible that that's the idea behind it, that it's good for you to eat, simply put, because eating a healthy animal makes you more healthy. The Toldos Yitzchak also could apply that way. Animals that are not fighting with one another are likely to be more healthy animals because they don't have that type of injury that fighting animals would have. Carnivores are constantly fighting. That would be an issue with us eating it just because, simply put, they could have blemishes. They could have some type of a mum that would make a person that eats it sick. So that might be the idea. Going on the other way, that it's really just more of a health reason that eating these animals makes a person more healthy. So we got those two ideas. But some understand these simonim to represent Klal Yisrael as a whole. To be able to say that it represents us and it's us ourselves. The Rabbeinu Ephraim says, split hooves means you're able to inherit both worlds. You have Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And by having these split hooves, you're able to get reward not only for doing mitzvahs, but also learning Torah itself. That's the idea of what the split hoof means. Chewing the cud means, after we get all the great things in this world, we go on and get more reward in the next world. We're constantly taking out those mitzvahs and replenishing ourselves, rewarding ourselves with what that is. That's the idea behind it. The pig represents the nations of the world that are only going to get great things in this world, the split hooves, referring to the things that they can show people. Look at what we have. We have all these riches. We have all these good things. While they're missing the ikker, which is the chewing of the cud, which is the reward they're going to get in the next world, the part that's hidden, says the Rabbeinu Ephraim. They're not zocha to what we are in the world to come. That doesn't mean that a non-Jew doesn't get Olam Haba. They still can get Olam Haba. But they don't have the same reward that we get for getting what we have, and that's the representation of what it means to have a kosher animal. It means you get this world, the outer side, and the inner world, you know, the Olam Haba, which is the inside of the animal, and that's why an animal needs both in order to be kosher and not just one. The Chidah quotes that Rabbeinu Ephraim. He adds on his own pshat. He says, Jews are able to split up their money. That's the split hooves. We split up our money and use some of it for ourselves, our gashmias, and what we need in our daily lives, and some of it for our ruchnias. We're willing to spend on so many things, like yomtiv, Hilchos Yomtiv, or Shabbos, or Brachnasis Orchid. And not only that, but we're also willing to give money to poor people and to tzaddikim who need it. We're willing to be able to put together what we need to do for Meiser, for tzedakah, and we're willing to give up our money in that way. The chewing of the cud represents the desire to learn Torah and to fill our mouths with the Torah. That even after we take the Torah in, we want the Torah right back. We want to chew it up again, so to speak. To think about it again, maybe I didn't say that entirely correctly. Maybe I should learn it a little bit differently. Even after they finish learning, they go over it again and again and again. I remember when I was younger, I was in I was in Kollel in Shari Tzvuna, Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. When I was there, Rabbi Eli Levin, one of my Rabbeim, he was the Yeshiva there in Shari Tzvuna. He mentions one of the greatest things in a shmooze. He said the whole point of learning Gemara is that when you're standing at a bus stop and you're waiting for the bus to come, you're having a conversation with Rav Anabaye. You're going through what you just learned, and you said, like, Rav, what are you thinking? Why would you think that way? I'm totally with Abaye on this one. And Abaye, how could you have argued this way? Why couldn't you argue that way? It's to be able to go over it again and again, and I think that's the idea that the Chidah is trying to bring out from chewing your cud in Torah. It's to bring it back up, to go through it again, to understand it through. And again, and the splitting of the hooves is your ability to divide up what's important and what's not as important, to be able to understand when to give your money to one thing and when to give your money to something else, to really understand what it means to have a Maaser account, a true Maaser account that takes out 10% out of your earnings and automatically gives it to tzedakah without you even thinking about it. It's automatically there, so there's nothing there at the end of the year where you have to sit there and say to yourself, did I really give 10% of what I had to do to tzedakah itself? That's one idea that the Chidah goes through. The Ben Ish Chai in Od Yosef Chai quotes the Rabbeinu Ephraim, then quotes the Chidah, and then says, I have my own idea. The split hooves represent Bnei Yisrael splitting their time during the day. That their day is made up of times where their Kobea eats him Latorah, and then Kobea eats him for them to go to work, in which they understand that they have to learn, they understand that they have to work a little bit. And that both of them refers that they have time for their Kedusha, their time for their Ruchnias, and time for their Gashmias. So instead of that idea of using money for Ruchnias and using money for Gashmias, instead it's learning for Ruchnias, learning for Gashmias, so to speak. The chewing of the cud shows how Jews are always willing to work harder and harder. That they're willing to fix anything that they need to do in any way that they can, to redo anything they need to do by making a Kiddush Hashem, by glorifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Even if you do it once, you're willing to do it again and again and again and again, showing yourself in this world what you want to do or how you want to do it. He then says, right, this same basic idea as the Chidah. I don't even know if I have to go through that as well. But he goes through how to give tzedakah, etc., and how it's a circle that never ends. Rav Sternbach, the Rav Sternbach in his paper Tam B'Das, mentions another idea. There are Jews on the outside that look like tzaddikim. You look at them and you think, that person must be a tzaddik. He just has that look. It doesn't necessarily have to do with the dress. You just see the person. He's got that aura of kedusha around him that allows you to think, look at that person, what a person. But on the inside, there's very much to be desired. They're not the person that they look like on the outside. They act with gaiva. They act with just an air that makes them seem that they're better than everybody else. Then the outside, there's one thing and something like that. They would never give up their lives to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. They wouldn't be Moser Nefesh. They wouldn't make a Kiddush Hashem. They don't really know what they're doing and they don't know why they're doing it. There are others who want to try to connect to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. On the inside, they truly want to be better people. And they really want to do what a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants them to do. But the problem is their taivas, their outside doesn't let them do it. Their outside doesn't allow them to do it, and it's so difficult for them. Everything they try to do over and over and over again, it just doesn't happen. That's the idea. So what are the split hooves? The split hooves represents the person who looks great on the outside. The chewing of the cud is referring to a person on the inside who's a great person on the inside. A kosher animal has to have both. A Jewish person has to have both. He has to have the aspect of something that's kosher on the outside, and he has to have the aspect of something that's kosher on the inside. And if he's missing one thing, if he's missing one of those two, then he's just a pig, or a camel, or a hyrax, or some type of rabbit. That's the reference, says for Sternbach. It's got to be that you're working on everything, on the outside and the inside, to make yourself a little bit better. That's the concept, he says. Says the Chassam Sofer. Something that seems to be the exact opposite of this idea. I mean, we're giving an idea right now that represents, here's a person in which we're representing Klal Yisrael and how a Jew should be or what a Jew should do. All those ideas right there. Says the Chassam Sofer, the exact opposite. These four animals represent the nations of the world and what a person could do. It could be that it's an idea like this. Kosher animals represent nations that have helped us when we're in Golos. Not the Jews. The other nations of the world that have been on our side. And thus they chew their cud. The idea is they allow us to give them bribes to give us our religious freedom. There is no half kosher animal more than America. In the sense that, listen, there's danger. That's we all know, but we're able to ignore it because of the freedom of religion expression that we have here that we've never had anywhere else. We've never been able to have in almost any other country that we've ever been in. And on the other hand, there are other nations, as they call it, Edom, in which it represents Klal Yisrael, which on the outside, they tell you, yeah, we'll do anything you need. We're willing to help you. But on the inside, they're saying to themselves, how do we get rid of these people? Or what do we do in order to get rid of them? That idea out there. Says the Chassam Sofer, there's those represented by chewing their cud but not having split hooves. The people that on the inside are really trying to help. And those that have split hooves but are not chewing their cud, that's the people that are not really trying to help but are willing to take a bribe once in a while, and you never know what they're really thinking on the inside. That is not the way a Jew should be. And the same ideas were stirred up, but in a different vein. Instead of talking about Klal Yisrael, refer to that. The kosher animal has to represent somebody who is both on the outside and the inside is acting kosher, is acting in the right way. That's the idea that Chassam Sofer says over here. So that's one way of looking at it. The next way of looking at these kosher simanim, the Achronim try to say, is that these are positive character traits that we should take for ourselves from these two things. Not just an idea, a symbolism of how a person should act, but real positive character traits that come out. For example, the Vilna Gaon quotes the Ramban that we said before. The Ramban says that certain birds are not kosher because of the bad character traits that come with it. I'm just going to tell you, this just happened. Okay, I was taking my kids home from swimming at the JCC, and it's a long story, but I had to make a right on Tui and then make a left into Yashurin's parking lot in order to get out, and it was whatever. As we're going through Yashurin's parking lot, all of a sudden we saw a red-tailed hawk. So I don't know if you've seen red-tailed hawks. They're released into these areas to be able to take care of the squirrel problem, the skunk problem. It doesn't usually work with skunks, but it's really good with squirrels. And we saw the red-tailed hawk swooping down. I don't know if you've ever seen this. Like, it was a National Geographic video. This hawk swoops down and lands on a squirrel nest in a tree right there, right outside. And it tries grabbing something from the tree. You see a squirrel run out from the thing itself. My kids are like, Daddy, stop. And I'm like, I must go home. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, we got to. I was listening to the BBC music in the background, right? And all of a sudden, what did the hawk do? It grabbed the entire nest with its talons, grabbed it out of the tree, and flew across the way. But the nest was weighing it down. So as it's carrying it, it's going lower and lower and lower. If you know Yashurin, there's one huge three-story house that's like right there, right? There's a big tree right there when you get to the parking lot. There's a three-story house, then there's a smaller house, then there's an empty lot. So he saw the hawk go down that way. So unfortunately, the alley was closed. And I'm like, what do I do? So I ran into the street, went to Tui, went down Jarlath. We got there just as the hawk was trying to get up. He was still like flapping its wings as hard as it could, but it's grabbing the nest with its talons and it's not letting go. It lands in the street right in front of me. So I'm like, this is awesome. So I'm not honking. I'm sitting right there. It lands down in the street, and then the hawk starts tearing apart the nest and then finds the baby squirrels inside the nest. Pulls out the baby squirrels. You can see the baby squirrels that are out there. And then a coward comes and Jarlath honks at it, and the hawk flies away. And I'm like, no! No! This is not what's supposed to happen. This does not happen normally. And the hawk runs away, and we're watching these squirrels, the baby squirrels, sitting in the street. If you go by Jarlath in Albany, right now, I'm sure the nest is still there. It's a huge squirrel nest on the side of the road with dead baby squirrels all around, and the hawk went all the way out there. My kids are like, Daddy, what happens now? And I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. I was so upset. But it's absolutely unbelievable. That is why hawks are not kosher. They steal babies. And that is what a Jew should not do. So that's the lesson that I learned from right now.
Play-by-play.
I was doing the play-by-play, yes. Oh my, you have no idea. I was playing the music in the background.
Did you see
that little thing? You know, I was born in 1979, so I don't have my phone automatically on record mode. You know, if I was born in like 2001 and my phone is already out recording everything around me at all times, then it would have been easier. But no, I didn't get to record it. I just have it in my head. And I know that's sad, but at least I still have the ability to make pictures and movies in my head. But it was absolutely awesome. The craziest thing I've ever seen. That's the idea behind it. That's the concept. So the Vilna Gaon says from the Ramban that these things are not kosher. So he says like this. Every person has a nefesh bahamis, an animalistic nature to him. The more you eat, the more it feeds that nefesh, either for good or for bad. If it's good food, then it allows your nefesh bahamis to become more kadosh. And if it's bad food, then it allows your nefesh bahamis to unfortunately become a little bit bad. That's the idea. A bird of prey shows that it doesn't have, says the Vilna Gaon, says the Gra, it doesn't have the midah of histapkus. It's not okay with what it has. It needs more. more, and it keeps trying to grab more and more and more. When an animal chews its cud, and it takes its own food, and re-eats it, and eats it again, and eats it again, that shows histapkos. It's fine with what it has. I don't need anything more. I have enough in my own stomach. I'm perfectly fine with it. So the midah of histapkos, of being okay with what you have, is represented by chewing the cud. Split hooves means you don't have claws to tear something apart. It doesn't have that idea. It's also histapkos, the ability of, I don't need to tear anything apart. I'm fine with everything that's right there in front of me. I don't need anything more than that. That's the reason why chewing the cud is called malas geira. That's what it's called, malas geira. This is an unbelievable magon. A geira is a type of coin. Esrim geira hashekel. Esrim geira hashekel. Geira is a type of coin. And geira is equal to a ma'ah. A ma'ah is two pundion. Okay? And a pundion is two isarin. So in essence, a geira, which is a ma'ah, is four isarin. Four isarin altogether. In Peah, Perek Ches Mishnah Aleph, four isarin is the amount of food that a man and his wife would be able to live off of for one day. Two meals. One day, four isarin is the amount of money that he would have to pay for that amount. Thus, a geira, one geira, four isarin, the amount of money that you can live off of for one day, one geira is exactly what you need. You don't need anything more. That shows its kashrut. It's mala geira. It shows that it needs just what I need for today. I don't need anything else. I don't worry about anything for tomorrow. Says the Vilna Gaon, that's the idea why it's even called mala geira, where the word comes from. Based on this idea of having just enough to be able to go through. Chaim Knievsky says, another mita is you can learn the mita of atzlus. One who chews their cud constantly and constantly chewing. If you've ever seen a cow, it looks like it's constantly chewing gum. That's all it is. And to be honest, every time I see somebody chewing gum, that's all I think of. I'm just like, that guy's a cow. I feel bad, but that is all I think of, right? The guy like that, that person is not being lazy. He keeps moving. There's a constant movement involved with his actions. Says Rav Chaim Knievsky, it could be that that effort that's being put forth allows it to be kosher. That's the idea. That's the siman that denotes kosher behavior. Because a kosher person doesn't act with laziness. That's the idea of what this meter represents. The Mashiach has a whole long piece. The Ishbitzer goes into a whole idea over here about all the different siman, about the birds and the fish and everything, about why they need all these things. But he says about this, it's referring to a person who doesn't want to take the good that Hashem is offering him. God is offering something good, and even that, he says, you know what? I don't need it. I don't need it. Even if he's being forced to take something, he's still willing to give it up. He's ready to give it up. He says, you know what? I don't need it. This split hooves, he says, represents someone who's not willing to grab anything. He has so much trust in Hashem, I don't need to get it with my own feet. I don't need to use my hands to be able to grab it. It'll come to me on its own. It's the midah, he says, of really bitachon, of trusting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Parshas Re'eh, the Mashiach goes on a little bit. He says it refers to emunah, faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you, bitachon, trust that He's on my side, as well as yishuv hadas, which is a calmness, understanding that I don't have to go so crazy, things will be okay. That calmness. So there's three things, emunah, bitachon, and yishuv hadas. Chewing the cud, he says, refers to emunah and bitachon. I don't need anything more, that's enough. The same idea of histapkos, emunah and bitachon, he calls it. Well, the split hooves refers to yishuv hadas. I'm able to walk in the right way. I can go wherever I need to. I'm sure-footed, so to speak. That's the idea of yishuv hadas and being able to go through. If a person trusts in Hashem without yishuv hadas, which is not only just calmness, but seichel, knowing what to do with your money, if a person goes through life and he says, you know what, I'm just going to trust in God, but he has no yishuv hadas, here's what's going to happen. One of three things. Either, number one, he's going to be a person who does things without thinking about it whatsoever. He's not thinking. He's just going through and saying, I don't care what the results are, I'm just going to go right into it, and I'm going to grab it, and I'm going to do it, and that's that. That's a gamal. That's a camel. A camel is represented. This idea is an animal that goes through and does something well. Think about it, just runs into it, and that's it. Okay? And that's the idea. Number two, our second one over here, is the shafan. The second person is a person who becomes almost like a gambler. Somebody who is willing to put all his money on the table and says, Akash Baruch, you'll take care of me. I'll put all 10,000 on lucky number 7. Now let's see what ends up happening. Why? Because I have pure bitachon in Akash Baruch Hu, and I know that Akash Baruch Hu will help me, and I don't have to worry about anything else. But that person needs Yishuvah Das. That's not how it works. Akash Baruch Hu might not want you to gamble in order to make your money. Maybe he wants you to do some other form of Ishtadlus to be able to make your money. But this guy says, no, this is what I'm going to do, and that's that. The third one is the person who is absolutely lazy. He's lazy. He refuses to do anything more because he says, Hashem will help me. I just have to sit here and the money will come into my lap. I'm not going to do anything about it. It's going to come to me. So whether the guy is going to be a person who doesn't think before he does something, gambles his money away, or is lazy and sits down and does nothing expecting God to do it, in all those cases, you need to have, with each one of your ideas of bitachon and emuna, you need to have yishuv hadas as well. Any one of those first three animals are not kosher whatsoever. That's the idea behind it. Possibly the pig represents a miser, a person who is willing to give away whatever he needs for himself and spend a lot of money on himself. When it comes to other people, no, I'm not willing to do anything whatsoever. That person has no emuna and no bitachon, but he has yishuv hadas. I know how to live in this world. I can't give away tzedakah because I might need the money for myself, so I'm going to save up and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'm going to keep everything. He has yishuv hadas. He knows how to live in the world. No emuna, no bitachon. And therefore he won't give away anything to anybody else because what if I need something over here? That's the idea behind it. All those four animals are not kosher. Now, our third idea that we wanted to go through is mentioned by a sefer called Kimotzei Shalom Rav. You might have heard of that. It's one of these sefarim that has all these different vorts added into it. I saw this also in the Mayana Shel Torah, another like vort sefer that goes through. They quote this idea over here that chewing the cud means to throw up the food that the animal has already eaten in order to crush it finer, make the pieces smaller and smaller and smaller, and digest them better. That's what chewing the cud means. It means this is how you have to work with the words of the Rishonim. You work with the words of the Rishonim and you sit there and you chew it up. You look at a Ritva, at a Ramban, at a Rashba, you sit there and you say to yourself, you chew it up and you say, that's not what he means. And you look in there, at the first glance it might seem like this, but then you say to yourself, that can't be what he means. He really must mean like that. And you have to chew up every single shot. You don't make assumptions that aren't necessarily true. You work on it and you go through it again and again and again. You don't run through things. That's how he says what chewing the cud is referring to. It's not a remez to something. Not representing Klal Yisrael, not representing a good midah. The idea is how to learn. Learn by chewing your cud and thinking about it again and again and bring it up again and again. The idea behind it is just that. And then he says that relationship should be applied for us in a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Pesachim Kuf Yutess. It says that money helps you stand on your own two feet. A foot represents one's money. A split hoof teaches us how to act when giving up our cash. The same idea that we've been saying before, that concept of how to give it up, it's the idea over here that you should make a true split of our money and allow ourselves to crush it finer, think about it more and more and more, and then act lemaisa and give away what we need to give away. That's the concept he says. Now, the Aleinu Shabbat quotes the Biala Rebbe. The Biala Rebbe really said that entire idea and just explained it a little bit more. He says that a person should always weigh their actions before doing anything. He should think, is this what HaKadosh Baruch wants me to do? Is this possibly the Yitzhahara? And I think everybody sort of understands this. You come into situations where it seems like this is the right thing to do at that time. You have to weigh, is this the right thing to do in this situation at that time? Meaning, if you're in Mesh Aron and somebody acts with impunity toward mitzvahs or whatever it is, then maybe it's right to be able to say to that guy, you're doing something wrong, or maybe yell at that guy, or do whatever it is, because the expectations are a little bit higher. Is it right to do that in a neighborhood where they don't exactly get it, where they don't have that feeling? Is that the right thing to do? See, those are kashas. Okay, it's okay because I'm yisekha applies. That's a mitzvah sustaining authority to give musr. But how do you give musr? How do you speak it out to people? What do you do when you try to tell it over to somebody? Says Aleinu L'Shabbat, these are the ideas. Chewing the cud means mulling over to yourself, what is the best thing to do at this time? Where is the best go? And the cloven hooves means, am I walking in the right direction? Am I taking the right steps to doing the right thing, or am I going going in the wrong direction over here. I'm almost split. Which path in this road should I take to allow myself to get there? That road that's around there. So the Panovitcher Rav, Rav Yosef Kahneman, has a great story. He often went to London to get funds for the yeshiva, for the Panovitcher yeshiva. And one time, he was able to make a meeting with this one gvir, didn't mention his name, who was notoriously busy, always traveling, going from one place to the other. And this is back in the day, I don't know, 40s, 50s, whenever it was, I would assume it was after the war, but this has been a time where obviously travel is not like it is today. So when a guy travels, he's traveling for a long time, and he's gone for a really long time. So one time, the Panovitcher Rav came to London, and it happened to be that this guy was around. So he made a meeting with him, and the guy told him, listen, I can meet you at the train station. I'm leaving the train station at 8 a.m. That's where my train is leaving. I can meet you at 7:45 a.m. I'm agreeing to meet with you at 7:45. Okay, so he said that. You have to be there exactly on time, and we'll have 10 minutes right before I get on my train, and that'll be it. So Panovitcher Rav made up that he would stay right by the train station, and he would go to a minion that was right by the train station, an earlier minion, and then he'd get there right during that time. Everything would work out well. The problem is, he stayed up late learning. And then next morning, he woke up a little late. So a little late to us is like, you know, a little late to us is 12:30. To the Panovitcher Rav, a little late was like 5:30. You know, like by the time he was able to go to the mikvah and prepare himself for davening, etc., it was already, you know, it was a little bit later. He wasn't going to make the minyan that he had to go to, the 6:45 or the 6:30, to be able to get to the meeting on time. So now he had a shiloh. He had to look at himself. This gvir was very willing to give money. So there was no question he was going to write a good check for the yeshiva, and he kept missing him. So it was a real problem. Should he go? But that means he's going to miss davening with the minyan. There was no 9 o'clock minyan. I know. Could you be? But there was no 9 o'clock minyan. So he wasn't going to make that. So what was he going to do? If he goes to minyan, he's missing the meeting. If he goes to the meeting, right, then he misses minyan. What's the best thing for me to do? So he sat there and he thought about it, and he said, I have to do my yeshivos, said the Panovitcher Rav. I have to do my yeshivos to get money for the yeshiva. But I don't have to do an iser in order for my yeshivos to go through.
Yes,
the iser is not going to a minyan. Shulchan Aruch says usher. It says usher. Usher is probably minyan when there's a minyan available. So the word usher is used. It's a good call. But I don't know what the iser is. Right? But the wording is out there. So he said, I don't have to do something that's usher in order to get around. In order to get this money. Possibly, there's something. So he said, he paskins, I've got to go to minyan. So he went to minyan. And by the time he ended minyan, you know, and he said, Shira Malos, Mama King, because that's part of davening now. So after everything was over, right, he got out, took off his tefillin, and he said, you know what, I'll go to the train station. He looks at his watch, and the time is right now 8:57 a.m. Okay, there's no way. The train's left at 8 o'clock, right? But he said, I'm going to do my shtavos, I'll go there. If he's gone, he's gone, right? Maybe something happens. So he goes over to the train station, he walks in, he looks up at the board, and he sees the 8 a.m. train left. So he turns around. As he turns around, the gvir comes running inside. He runs up to the Panovitcher Rav. He says, I am so sorry. Unbelievably sorry. I don't know what happened to me. I slept late today. I completely missed my train. I apologize. I made the Rav wait here for the last hour and 15 minutes. I'm so sorry that this happened to the Rav. Please take this as a token of my appreciation for waiting for me, for being around there. I would assume the Panovitcher Rav said, I just got here a minute ago. I just can't promise that that's exactly what happened. But the man ended up giving the Panovitcher Rav a check that took care of the entire yeshiva for a month. Without any problems, the check was large enough to be able to take care of the entire thing, supporting the entire yeshiva. The Panovitcher Rav, when he came back to yeshiva, called together the entire yeshiva. He told them over the story, and he said, had he gone to the earlier minyan, had anything, there's no way he would have waited around till 9 o'clock, and he wouldn't have received this check, because he ended up going to that minyan. So I think that his point was that sometimes even bad things end up turning out to be good. I think that was his point. But the Alenus of Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein used it for over here as well. The concept of a person has to make a cheshbon. What is the best thing for me to do at this point? That's not always the easiest thing to make, but that's what he did, and that's what he came out with, so it worked out well for him at that time. Now, at the very end, there are some interesting things that come out. I'm not going to be able to tell you all of this stuff, because I don't really understand it. But the Shach HaLaTorah says the following, that these simonim, and the common denominator behind everything is this. Jews should not be able to eat animals. because of the Egel Azov. The Egel Azov should have ushered us from ever being zocha to eat animals ever again. We shouldn't be zocha to eat any kosher, even kosher animals. We should get nothing. We should have absolutely nothing. But we have the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. We have the schus of Aaron HaKohen. And through their schus, we have the schus, we have the ability to continue to eat meat. It's their schus. Says the Shachar HaTorah, Parsa, Parsa, as in the split hooves, is the gematria of 345, which is Moshe. Gera Babahema is the gematria of 262, which is Aaron with a vav. Aaron with a vav. That's an amazing pshat. We were allowed to eat meat because of Mala Gera and Mafrise Parsa, which is Moshe and Aaron. Their schus allowed us to be able to get it. I have nothing more in that. I don't know why Mala Gera refers to this and Parsa refers to that Moshe. I don't get that. That I don't understand. But I can tell you that's what the Shachar HaTorah says. That will take a little bit of work. Time in Hagen, in Likutim, number 116, he says in his notes that the reason why we need the animal to chew their cud is like this. There are many sparks of Kedusha in every bit of food that you eat. Every bit of food, every bit of drink, even Coke, has Kedusha in it that allows, that's called the ruchnius of the food. It's the idea of it's klipas noga, and there's some Kedusha in it that can be brought up if you do it in the right way, but there's something good, something that can be brought out in every little bit of food. And within every bit of food, there's domain, the dirt, there's the tzomeach, the plants that the animal eats, and the animal itself is a chai, and it can be turned into a daber. Says the time in Hagen. If that's true, an animal has no ability to really do it on its own, to bring about Kedusha on its own. So if you would eat an animal, which is a lion, a tiger, something that eats another animal, you're going to run into a problem. You're not able to be mila, the Kedusha that's within that animal. Only a ruminant animal, an animal that chews its cud, says the Taim Yemen Hagen, has the ability to knock down the Kedusha into finer and finer and finer parts. And every time it knocks down, every time it eats it a little bit more, it's destroying everything in it and making that Kedusha come out even further. If you want to say it this way, if there was a Gilgal into the food, then the food is knocked down and given more and more of a kapara, smashing it down until finally it's ready to be eaten by a human being. So therefore, the reason why we eat animals, says the Taim Yemen Hagen, within this idea of chewing the cud is because it's trying to bring about more Kedusha, attempting to bring more Kedusha in its own essence of its own being in order to allow you to be able to eat it correctly. But don't think it's entirely altruistic. It's not. Because every time you eat those sparks of Kedusha, it 100% affects you and makes you a better person. And that's the idea, it says, of Mala Gera. It raises the Nefesh that is Gera dwelling within you. That's the Mala Gera. It draws the Mila on those things that are within you. And the final thing that we're going to say over here is from the Reikanti. And this is something that's really beyond my pay grade, so I apologize to begin with. The Reikanti says, there are Mikubalim out there that believe that there is such a thing as Gilgal Behemos. I don't believe it works in the same way that Hindus believe that it does, that you're going to die and become an ant or die and become a frog. But that was during his lifetime. That's what it says about those 7 years when Daniel prophesied that he would live as an animal for 7 years. So that's a good call, but it doesn't say straight out that we have it. So he says there are some Mikubalim that believe in such things. He says someone who has more averos than mitzvos will be brought back as a tame animal. But if he is male gera, if he's raised his spiritual levels and has more mitzvos than averos, then you'll have a gilgul into a kosher animal, he says. That's only if you're male gera and you help yourself. But if you've committed one of the three ultimate sins, murder, adultery, or avodah zarah, then you'll have a gilgul into a tummy animal again, and that's the sod behind the three animals listed here. That if you have gili arayis, you become a camel. If you have shlichus damim, you become a shathan. And if you have avodah zarah, you become an arneves. And he explains over there what each one of those means. Oh, no, not the arneves, the pig, the chazir. He doesn't discuss the rabbit. I don't know why he doesn't discuss the arneves. But he says those three, that'll end up happening. So again, that's a little bit beyond us, but at least you know there is something out there that discusses this idea and how it applies in that way. So what we did was, we said, number one, how these simanim could be an idea just in pshat, in a simplistic idea, why these things are better for you, either to make you bring up your kedusha or to help you become more healthy. That was our first idea. Then we said how it represents klal yisrael. We gave five different answers for that. We then said the idea of maybe these simanim are character traits that one needs to be perfected. Different character traits could be represented by this. Then we said that chewing the cud allows for the animal to somehow have a certain amount of tahara, that you should, how you should learn. Keep doing things and then looking at your life and deciding what to do with your life, etc. Then we went to the more Kabbalistic ideas of what it means to be Malagera, etc., which we didn't fully understand. Have a good Shabbos, everybody. Should be all